Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I struggled with a title, but the title I set on was Jesus, who also sets priorities. And I decided to go with the more traditional translation to focus on today, and that is where Jesus responds to his mother and he says, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. This is our text. Please be seated. Well, I have to ask, it's still early enough in January. You can still get about the task of getting a 2018 calendar, and perhaps you already have one. I notice how quickly does the calendar fill up. There's, of course, work commitments, there's family functions, there's doctor's appointments, and the list goes too long. And then comes real life. Things like snowstorms, other inclement weather, sickness, either your own sickness or sickness of your families. There's funerals, there's baptisms, there's emergency baptisms, there's weddings, there's even maybe an emergency wedding. And schedules always conflict, end up conflicting. It happens to the best of us. Priorities are then assessed and they are reassessed. So all that which is important is rescheduled. But sadly, other things cannot be rescheduled. So some things are completely dropped and not without consequence. Usually when you have to drop something, some relationships are strengthened while others are diminished. And it's terrible. So we end up longing for a simpler, maybe a more pastoral life, outlift the sheepfold or something like that. But talk to people from every place, examine them from every time, and discover that such problems of priorities, they're universal no matter when you live, no matter where you live. It's a problem of our human condition. Even in simpler biblical times, you might remember how there was this guy. He was invited to a great banquet, but one of them, he had to go and check on some land that he just bought. Another guy, he just bought some oxen. He had to check on that. The other guy, he got married, and he had to attend to the needs of his new wife. And so they couldn't come to attend the banquet, or so they thought, but we know it was a matter of priorities. The Christian, though, is left wondering, does our God relate to this problem? Or does he who never tires or sleeps, living beyond time where 1,000 years are as a day, remain sympathetic towards us but without any real kind of empathy? Does our God have any practical experience with the problems of making priorities? And to this, our text answers absolutely, because we behold Jesus the Christ. Now, he is 12 years old, but he is not 12 years old in the sense that we understand 12 years old in our time in 2018 Toronto, where adulthood hardly begins before 25. I mean, that's at least what the Ontario government seems to be saying when you don't take on responsibility for your health care till after 25. But Jesus is 12 years old in first century Judea, where legally and religiously he's entering into adulthood. And remember that his peers that were born alongside of him all over Israel, he was one of the few that would survive into being 12 years old. About half of them would die. So adulthood comes early. And Jesus is coming into his own, into adulthood. And there's competing voices in his mind that he hears. All these things are competing for our Lord's attention. But having chosen to live within the limits of a human mind and body and soul, our Lord Jesus, he became like us. And he cannot respond to every need. He cannot respond to every expectation or voice calling at once. Our Lord is there setting some priorities. Now Jesus loves his earthly father. But now his earthly father must be secondary. Jesus no doubt had friends. And we know that because later in life in his ministry, we see that he calls many his friends, even wept over a friend, Lazarus. So I don't doubt he had friends stemming back to his childhood and early adulthood. No doubt he had interests. And you might wonder, how can I say that he had other interests other than God? He had other interests. I can tell that based on his parables and the breadth of knowledge and wisdom that he shows. He took an interest in people and he took an interest in many other things. But our Heavenly Father, Jesus, recognized, had to be the priority. And he had to sacrifice other things, his family, his friends, his interests, his hobbies, or what have you, because he knew that his first and foremost priority was his Heavenly Father. It's all first commandment stuff. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. And for Jesus, he knew what was most important for him to do. He says, I must be about my Father's business. Now, God's business is serious love. The highest form of love possible involves sacrifice and it involves obedience to the Father. The Heavenly Father's business for the 12-year-old Jesus began at the temple with his parents and his companions. And we know what Jesus was witnessing at that point in his life. And really, the business of sacrifice, as we recall last night, and that hymn that we sang about we three kings of Orient are, myrrh is mine, a blessed perfume, foretells gathering gloom and so forth. The cross is right there at his birth and right from the very beginning. And now as he is 12 years old, he returns, he's at the temple, a place of sacrifice, and he's going to be about that business. And we know what our Lord Jesus is witnessing here at the temple with his family. The Passover feast recalled for God's people how they were saved. And how were they saved? They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Their homes marked with blood were literally passed over, spared from death at the hands of the angel of death who came to inflict punishment on Pharaoh and the unbelieving peoples. With cries of grief as dinner music, God's people ate a special meal of lamb together to prepare for their journey. Their journey that would foreshadow the journey to the promised land. It was such a major event that God commanded his people to celebrate this feast every year. And as God's people, we know that this feast finds fulfillment in the Lord's Supper. So Jesus was there at a very important feast. He was growing and increasing in wisdom about his mission, even though in his deity he knew his mission. But he was learning, and yet he was knowing in that mystery we call the two natures of Christ. Jesus witnessed the selection, finding the purest Paschal lamb, and then the slaying of it, the sprinkling of the blood upon the altar, the meal itself, and the days of unleavened bread. Yes, Jesus was getting to know the Father's business. In the mystery of the two natures of Christ, we know that Jesus was ever learning in his humanity, while ever knowing according to his deity that he was, that he is, that he ever shall be truly the Son of God. So Jesus needed to stay behind in that place. He needed to be at the temple, amazing everyone, learning and proclaiming God's word through questions and answers and comments. I mean, how could anyone so easily leave after the Passover rites had ended? Especially with Jesus, because we know how his life unfolds. He's going to be the sacrificial lamb, the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. It's a mystery which deserves our attention, as surely as its fulfillment in the Lord's Supper deserves everyone's attention, but especially the attention from the best minds within our community of faith to understand these mysteries. The most interesting people I know are the sort of people who don't always give every single answer, but can ask the right questions. Jesus is the one who amazes the doctors of the law, not only with his answers, but also with his questions. Our Lord's life would be one of obedience and sacrifice, would be one of setting priorities, and the first priority to God the Father himself, even as our lives are to be prioritized in such manner. And in every case in our Lord's life, it was an obedience which led him closer to the cross, that sacrificial cross. And that was his glory, shared with us, leading to the resurrection and even our resurrection and to eternal life. He says, I must be about my Father's business. I must be in the temple to see it. And later in his life, you come across this decisive Jesus. I must do the works of him who sent me. The Son of Man must suffer many things. The Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must suffer to enter his glory. And finally, the Son of Man must rise again. That last statement makes all the previous things bearable. He must rise again to ensure our own resurrection. So our passage concludes, and he went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was learning. He was learning to fulfill his obedience to God, his heavenly Father first, but then also to his parents. We know Joseph dies sometime after that, so he becomes known as the carpenter's son. But Jesus knows himself first and foremost to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so from time to time, he has to ignore his family in order to accomplish his mission. Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. Like, aren't you going to see them? My mother and my brothers are the ones who fulfill the word of God, he says. He's focused. His heavenly Father comes first, but until his dying breath, he also cares for his mother Mary, saying to John from the cross, Son, behold your mother. And to his mother, Mother, behold your son. There is struggle in the life of Christ always. Be assured that he knows your struggles. He knows my struggles with time and that horrible thing, you know, that you have to choose sometimes, and there are priorities to be remembered. Let us pray to the one who understands us best, our Creator, Redeemer, brother, and friend. He can help us sort out those priorities. the most important being all the first commandment stuff, our God. Let us rise as we pray. Oh Lord God, how we experience a tension between our responsibilities to you and to our fellow men. Sometimes those responsibilities conflict so much that we must choose one or the other. May we take comfort in our Lord Jesus, who experienced the same tensions, so that there were times when he had to choose to serve God rather than man. Ultimately, our Lord Jesus makes very clear where our ultimate allegiance must lie. It sounds so harsh and yet so true, that if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Lord, these are hard words, but they are words that may be borne because we have the one who first bears us up, who has lift us through every priority wrestling that we engage in. Thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our guide, and our light. In his name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us in this Epiphany season as we see the deity of our Lord made manifest in the coming weeks. Amen.